Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we've got a really cool surprise edition for you later in the hour right here live on Montana Talks. Do you guys remember when I caught up with Scott Kid Petit? He was the mission pilot for the Polaris Dawn SpaceX crew that went up to space and did the first ever commercial spacewalk. They trained right here in Montana for that mission. So we talked to him when he was in Montana, and then we talked to him after they got back from space. Well, his buddies, his SpaceX colleagues, are up in space right now rescuing the astronauts that Joe Biden left stranded in space. And so anyway, we're going to talk with Kid Petit here later this hour. That's going to be great. Meantime, another great guest in the house with us, John Jackson, the Joker from X. John, good to see you.
Good morning. Good morning, Aaron. I got some funny and some good news for you. Is our old pal Hunter Biden was over in South Africa. The guy, Hunter Biden, that claims he's broke now, was taking a big safari vacation over in South Africa. And our girl, Laura Loomer, caught wind of this. Not only caught wind of it, but that he was over there with his massive Secret Service detail, put that out. President Trump got wind of it and has now pulled his Secret Service detail.
Yeah, it must be nice. Well, it wouldn't be nice to be Hunter Biden, but it sure would be nice to have a nice fancy little entourage to, you know, cover your back everywhere you go. My goodness. I mean, the waste, fraud, and abuse that we're seeing in this country. Speaking of some fun news, some good news out there, the White House social media team. These guys are having way too much fun. So the Department of Homeland Security shared this news about how a young woman who was here on a visa, I can't remember if it was a student visa or not, she went back to Beirut, Lebanon, and attended the funeral of Hassan Nasrallah, a brutal terrorist who led Hezbollah. She went back to his funeral to pay respects for a terrorist leader. Well, she's now been deported. She lost her visa. The White House sent out a photo of President Trump wearing the McDonald's apron, waving goodbye. I mean, it's just hysterical. And then they had this song played. The White House actually shared a video showing all these criminal illegal aliens being deported to that prison down in El Salvador. And they shared this song in the official White House video. Oh, if I can get it to play for me here. Oh, come on. My timing was off there. Oh, that's all right. Here we go.
Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay.
I know who's taking it home. Tom Holman is taking it home right now. I actually had that song on a mixtape that I put on my cassette player in a little old Ford I would drive. I had to go plow a chunk of farmland near Fort Peck after my freshman year of college, and I had Closing Time on my playlist. So there you go. You're out of here. We're back right after this.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I want to get John Jackson's take on this one here. Yeah, we were talking about the deportation flights and liberal judges, the left-wing media. They're all rallying around these murderers, these rapists, these gang-banging Trende Aragua thugs who are not even citizens of this country, and they tried to get the flight turned back around to bring the Trende Aragua gangsters back to America. Apparently, they want them back in Montana, because if you guys haven't heard, the six Trende Aragua gangbangers that were arrested in Belgrade and Bozeman, Montana, were on that deportation flight to the prison in El Salvador.
Six of those Trende Aragua came from your hometown of Bozeman. Yeah, would you ever think they're right there in Montana? Our local law enforcement across Montana, we've been battling the Mexican cartels for years. But they have these TDA gang members in Bozeman, Montana, six of them arrested by ICE and deported. These are the worst of the worst. Of course, this gang began in a Venezuelan prison. This is a multinational crime operation involved in drugs, in murders, in prostitution. Six of these gang members in Bozeman, Montana. Thank God for President Trump's leadership.
And then he went on to say, that was Steve Daines on Fox with Harris Faulkner yesterday. John, he went on to say, to confirm, that federal agencies knew these TDA operatives were in Montana, but the Biden regime wouldn't let them do anything about it. The only reason action finally took place was because of Donald J. Trump.
Oh, and this has been going on since Obama's time. Make no mistake. You would come up with a guy who's a convicted trafficker, even terrorist, anything, and you could not get these guys to do an official deportation. You had to get them to self-deport. And I mean, these guys that are, you know, convicts and all this other stuff, of course, they're not going to self-deport. But I wanted to make a point on that video. When you saw these prisoners arrive down to El Salvador, and President Bukele knows how to take dangerous men and turn them into harmless ones. And they were herded out of those buses like they just arrived at boot camp. And it was, get down, lower your head. You are taken in there by two men. You are immediately shaved all of your body hair. And they are telling you straight out. You don't hear, like here in the United States, you always see these bad guys lipping off to the cops and spitting at them and fighting. Did you see any of that from those guys? No, you did not. Because you know you're going to get a beat down so fast and get thrown in a hole for the next 3 months.
Yeah, we talked about Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador, in that video. I mean, this was like something, you know, like when you go to the PBR, the Pro Bull Riding here in Montana, and they have like the cool video with like the rock music or the rap music and the highlights of the bull riders. It's a show. It's a production. That's what that video that Bukele's team sent out down there. And you talk about a powerful message that sends to these criminal illegal aliens all over the world. Not the time to be messing with the United States of America anymore. It was a powerful video to support American national security. All right, let's see. Let's go to Brad in Kalispell on the phone lines. Brad, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, great show, guys. Really appreciate what you and the Joker are doing. The other thing is, I just, with this judge deal, this district judge, why can't it be a two-way street? Why don't we get a district judge that says, hey, go do what the law says. You got to follow through on it. Why can't we combat that way? It seems to me like it should be a two-way street, not just that we got to, you know, turn the plane around or whatever. It sure seems like we should have a law there that says, hey, we got to deport these folks.
Yeah, and it's clear, good question. It's clear what the left is doing. They're trying to force the Trump administration to play whack-a-mole here. File all these phony cases in the very liberal courts around the country. They put it in front of this judge. I like how Tim in Billings calls him not Boesberg, but Bozo. They put him in front of this Bozo Boesberg for a reason, so they can get a favorable ruling. They would have to file a complaint in one of the other districts in order for another district judge to give an opposite ruling. But it's clear this judge has zero authority whatsoever. I mean, as Tim and Billings pointed out, is this judge going to order the astronauts return to the International Space Station too?
Wait, and then really important here, all of this lawfare is designed to actually try to make the Trump people submit. And it's just like, say you got these protesters down on the corner in your local town. What do they want? They want attention. They want media spectacle. They want controversy. If you just drive by and ignore them and the media ignores them, what happens? Nothing. And that's what the Trump administration is kind of doing here. They're going to court and answering them, but they're just like, yeah, whatever. We're doing this no matter what you say. You know what they did to him in court yesterday? The judge was saying, you defied my order. And the government was responding by saying, Your Honor, you said that stuff about turning the planes around orally. You did not put it in the written order, so we don't consider it an order.
Yeah, that's like the judge didn't put it in the written order, but he's like, well, I told you on the phone. I mean, what a crybaby temper tantrum thing. And this guy is doing backflips to get these murderers and these rapists back to this country. That's the same judge, as I mentioned earlier, who ordered the DAPL, the Dakota Access Pipeline, shut down and emptied of all oil. He will starve Americans of energy, but he will bring the rapists and murderers back. Look, folks, this is what the Obama-Biden regime has brought to your shores, to your backyard.
Well, I worked overseas for 10 years. I know exactly where my jurisdiction ends and where any U.S. official's jurisdiction ends. Is at the shore, at the territorial waters. That's it. And for this judge to say in open court that he has jurisdiction over a plane, military planes that are already out of our territorial jurisdiction, it's just ludicrous.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet, isn't it interesting? Even some of these liberal Montana TV stations are saying Trump defends deportations. There's nothing to defend. He's touting what he's doing to protect and defend America. Matt in Columbia Falls, plus Representative Lucas Schubert on the phone lines. We'll get to your calls next.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
And big thanks to our producer, Caden. Yeah, I like that new music, a little sound in the back. You like that too, John? Have you noticed a little bit of a newer sound there? He took some time and tried to put some new music together, things like that.
I like that intro where he does from Mondakistan to...
That's my favorite one. That's for Tim out there in Savage, from Mondakistan to the Flathead. Yeah.
Well, what do you call him, like the Eastern... what's his title?
We just make it up every time. The Senior Chief Deputy Bureau Correspondent. You know, like when you watch these TV station news and like they got some guy that doesn't know anything about anything, but well, let's turn now to our Bureau Chief of the blah, blah, blah. And the guy doesn't know squat.
So reading off a freaking teleprompter.
Yeah, but yeah, well, I'm nothing. The Senior Deputy, you know, Jon Stewart, you know, on The Daily Show, even though he's a leftist, he was funny. He's hilarious. And he would always kind of make fun of those, you know, well, now we turn to Deputy Bureau, whatever, blah, 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 chief, you know.
I'm still waiting for my senior fellow designation from you.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you had, what did we make you? You were part of the DeSantis Air Force back in the day.
That was separate from Montana Talks. I got that designation from Governor DeSantis, you know, colonel of the DeSantis Air Force.
I was going to say, you know, we're a little cheap around here, so we will give you a title promotion, but don't ask for a pay raise, you know, because we already pay you way too much.
I heard that you get the title promotion, it actually is a deduction in pay.
Right. Yeah. We'll give you this nice fancy title, but you're gonna have to pay us for that one. All right, let's go to Matt in Columbia Falls. Actually, he's here free of charge. Just, you know, he's promoting the @PVTJokerUS on X. There you go. Follow him on X. That's how he gets paid. Let's go to Matt in Columbia Falls. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I don't know if you got a chance to see it yesterday, but the Pentagon had a DOD press briefing yesterday, and I know you guys, as two service members who spent too much of their life in the sandbox like me, would like to hear this news, but they announced the beginning parts of an investigation into the withdrawal from Afghanistan, as far as investigating and holding accountable the military leaders that violated the law of armed conflict and left all of the weapons, armored vehicles, helicopters, M4s, ammo, grenades, you name it, body armor, night vision, all of that stuff behind for our adversaries to gain. And I'll tell you what, I've had a smile on my face since I heard that, as somebody who lost close friends over there and spent way too much of my life over there.
Yeah. What branch were you in, Matt?
Air Force, just over 20 years.
Wow. What'd you do in the Air Force?
A lot of things, but my time in the Middle East was as a jet engine mechanic as well as flying air crew maintenance.
That's awesome. Wow. Well, thanks for your service. Thanks for all you did and do. Yeah, I'm actually wearing my Yellowstone International Air Show, pullover right now. And that one time I got to fly in that jet with the Blue Angels, man, just remarkable what you folks do, whether it's Navy, Air Force, you name it. So thanks for your service. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I think SecDef Pete Hegseth and President Trump will deliver accountability on that front. And so, John, did you also see, by the way, speaking of the Secretary of Defense, you know, Conor McGregor, the you know, famous Irish fighter Conor McGregor was at the White House yesterday, yep. and then he stopped and visited SecDef Pete Hegseth, and they actually recorded this video together. So this is Conor McGregor and Pete Hegseth.
Hey, I'm here with the one and only Conor McGregor. You got a message for the
troops? Yes, the notorious Conor McGregor here. This is a message to the great troops of the United States of America. I'm here with your Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth. You're in good hands. Men, women, keep fighting the good fight. Fight, 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 as the big man says. Let's go, troops of America. God bless.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir. God bless
you,
brother.
Yeah, there you go. Cool shout out to the troops from Conor McGregor. But Conor McGregor also said something pretty interesting while he was in Washington. He's fighting to keep Ireland, Ireland. Ireland is being invaded by, well, Rosie O'Donnell and a bunch of so-called migrants as well. And he's like, we need to keep Ireland, Ireland. Just like we're saying, let's keep America, America. Just like you know, Poland is saying, let's keep Poland, Poland. Let's keep Hungary, Hungary. There was a poll that came out. I forget who was talking about it, but they surveyed Americans, and just to show you how much our culture has declined, and just the absurd political correct wokeness that's infected America. They asked these Americans. They said, well, what do you think about, you know, people in Europe saying we need to keep, you know, Poland, Poland, and Hungary, Hungary, and preserve our ethnic culture? Oh, that's awful. Oh, you can't do that. That sounds racist. Well, what do you think about China wanting to keep China, China? Oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah. Yeah, these people are so freaking clueless. They've gotten the woke mind virus so bad that they are all about destroying our culture. But, oh, yeah, China should be able to protect their culture.
It wouldn't surprise me to see Conor McGregor in the next couple of years be running for office and be a, you know, high-up official there in Ireland because of this very issue. He is extremely popular over there, and he's flat-out saying we're losing our country to illegal immigration. And he got up at the White House press gathering the other day and said that to the whole group of them, and I guarantee you not one of them had the guts to say anything back to the MMA champ there about his assertion on that. And Brett McGregor is so charismatic. I mean, you just instantly pay attention to him. He's very entertaining. Have you ever seen it? He's got the ultimate alpha male walk. You ever watch him walk? I mean, he's got that.
That's nothing compared to when John Jackson's walking down to the studios, you know, here. I'd put that against Conor McGregor's walk any day of the week, you know.
I really hope he runs over there. It'll be, that's what you have to have is conservative leaders in some of these EU countries to get up, stand up, break away from the EU. Stop all this madness over there because they are a communist cabal right now.
We had some fun with that. One time John Jackson was walking into the studio and I played his theme song. All the pretty girls walk like this.
did you see that movie, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker? You ever see that movie?
Oh, it's been a while.
You know, remember the guy walked out, he was doing a Shaft thing?
Oh, yeah.
And he had a band right behind him. The guy's like, what is that? He says, hey, man, that's my theme music. Every good hero got to have some.
That's classic. I thought that was from Friday. You know, movie references. I'm going to have my wife bail us out again if we start doing
we get hit again. It's going to be a week suspension of the man card. We can't have that.
We already lost it for one week. Yeah. Loss of privileges. Let's go to Representative Lucas Schubert in Kalispell. He was our last caller on Friday. He was supposed to be our first caller yesterday, but hey, the legislature is getting back in action. He's now with us on the phone lines. Representative Schubert, yeah, I know your legislative update got cut a little short on Friday. What do you want to tell folks about today?
Oh, yeah, so today what's going on, you know, we're headed into a lot of the fiscal bills coming up. And so one of my bills that is, it has an appropriation, so it's considered a fiscal bill. What it will do is create stronger penalties, state penalties, for companies that are hiring illegal aliens. So it says that if an individual is going to go and intentionally hire illegal aliens, that the DOJ can go after them and revoke all their license, both personal and business. So driver's license, business license, occupational license, etc. And it also creates a private right of action that individuals who are adversely impacted from people hiring illegal aliens can take against these companies. You know, let's say that you got a roofing company and another roofing company outbids you on a contract. well, you would be able, if they were hiring illegal aliens, you would be able to go and basically make a lawsuit to get some statutory damages. So there's a lot of things that are going on. Another interesting bill that basically most of the Democrats voted against that I had basically would provide a private right of action against companies that are distributing child pornography into Montana. It would create a private right of action that the victims could take, and all of the Democrats except three voted against it.
Wow.
So there's a lot of things going on here in Helena, a lot of big bills coming up. You know, we got the general funding bill coming up as well. So
what's the bill number? What's the bill number for the bill to crack down on businesses that knowingly hire illegal aliens?
It's 536. And so from what I hear, I believe that will be voted on in committee tomorrow, go out to the floor sometime before early April.
Very interesting. All right. Well, Representative Schubert, thanks for calling back in, because, yeah, I know you had a lot more to share than just the final 30 seconds that when we ran out of time on Friday's show. So thanks for calling back in. John Jackson, that House Bill 536, you and I have been talking about this. We just had they had a bunch of illegal aliens busted at a job site in Big Fork, Montana. And that's what everybody's saying is, like, unless there's crackdowns on the people hiring illegal aliens, that's got to be another, you know, leg here to the stool to solve this illegal alien invasion crisis.
The huge, huge piece of that puzzle is the money. Now, be that money, be it coming through those NGOs, through our own tax money that's housing and feeding all these people, they got them all the way up here and across the border, or the money that's coming from employers paying them here. All of that money, once it's cut off, these people will have nowhere to go but back home.
Yeah, and by the way, David Noble, who's an attorney who fills in for me on the show, he will tell you this is happening. There are roofing companies in particular, he's mentioned, that were able to win bids because they had illegal aliens working for them. So anyway, let's go to Charmaine in Helena. Charmaine, we got about a minute before the break. What do you want to share?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I'm so very, very proud of President Trump and regarding the deportation and how he set his face like a flint against what is being done to our country. And what makes me sad is what happened in Israel when they're still releasing the hostages. But what Trump saw and the empathy he had for those hostages that they released and the way they were released.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy that he has been wise in the things that he has done for our country and the righteous decisions this man has made on behalf of our country.
So well said, Charmaine. Great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. Wow, that was just powerful all around. I really like that like a flint line there, too.
This is where Montana Talks At with Lane Nordlund.
More details are out from USDA on their emergency commodity assistance program. $10 billion in economic relief assistance for producers, which is scheduled to start with sign-up next week. Deputy Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Brooke Appleton.
Sign-up will remain open until August 15th of this year. If you do not want to wait for that pre-filled application, you can visit your local office, you can visit our website, you can apply there as well. Eligible producers must report their 2024 crop year, planted, and prevented planted acres to USDA. And if you have not done that, you just need to do it before the filing deadline. We are working on sending pre-filled applications to farmers who submitted your acreage reports already for 2024.
Appleton says various online tools, such as a payback calculator and FAQ sheet, will also be a part of the rollout that's worth up to $10 billion in payments under ECAP.
We'll roll out a slew of tools for you to use on our website, calculator, FAQ document, if you will. But ECAP assistance will be calculated using a flat payment rate for the eligible commodity multiplied by the eligible reported acres. And then payments are based on acreage and not production. So for reported acres such as prevented plant, the ECAP assistance will be calculated at 50%.
For more on the $10 billion that is a part of the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program administered by the USDA, contact your local USDA Service Center today. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is really cool. So, I reached out to the Polaris Dawn team, and I said, hey, any chance we can catch up with Scott Kid Petit? He was the Polaris Dawn mission pilot. They trained for that Polaris Dawn mission to space right here in Montana. And we caught up with him back then, and then we caught up with him back in September. Back in September, what a conversation we were able to have with Polaris Dawn mission pilot Kid Petit. We talked about their splash landing as they made it back from space. We talked about the historic spacewalk itself and how they trained for the space mission right here in Montana. And I think it was towards the tail end of that conversation, I think we had already known that some of the NASA astronauts were going to be stuck in space for several months. So I asked Kid Petit, I said, hey, are you going to be going in on the SpaceX rescue mission? And he said, no, I got to go on this mission. We've got another team training up for that mission right now. If you guys haven't been following this in the national news, that SpaceX rescue crew is already up in space. They've linked up at the International Space Station. And I think tonight is when they're scheduled to return home back to Earth. We've got Scott Kid Petit back with us on Montana Talks. And then John Jackson, the Joker from X, in studio sidekicking with me this morning as well. Kid Petit, great to have you back on the show. Did I screw anything up in my intro there?
Not at all. You got it all, Aaron. Appreciate to be with you.
All right. Well, I always say throw that out there because, I'm willing to admit when I make a mistake here and there. But, so you're watching this from here on Earth this time around after the space mission yourself. What's most interesting to you thus far?
It's just amazing what the organization has done to get them home. I had the opportunity to watch the launch the other day, brought back a lot of memories just watching the telecast and going through the procedures and watching the liftoff. It brought back a lot of great memories from just a very short 6 months ago.
Yeah,
but as I follow along with this mission, they just separated from the ISS this morning, like 1 a.m. Eastern time. And now they're just going through a bunch of checks and procedures to prepare for re-entry. And like you mentioned, it's tonight. For you guys, I think it's around 3:50 this afternoon. For me on the East Coast, it's 5:50. So they're in for a ride for sure.
Yeah, I heard another astronaut on, I think, Fox and Friends maybe earlier this morning around like 4 a.m. our time, and he was describing re-entry and, the G's that you experienced. You described that when you were with us on the show the last time. You were talking about how, just being in space for even just a few days, your muscles kind of atrophy because of, no gravity. And so that re-entry, it can be kind of brutal on your system because you're experiencing even just 4 G's over several minutes can be pretty grueling. It's like a big guy sitting on your chest. But these astronauts have been stuck in space for months now, and apparently they're going to have a similar type of re-entry.
Yeah, so your body goes through a pretty intense transition when you get to microgravity space. The one thing that is fairly predominant is the fluid shift that happens in your body. We're used to gravity pulling on everything, to include our muscles, our ligaments, our tendons, our bone structure, the fluid in our body. But as soon as you get to microgravity, that all shifts around. Your organs are shifting around. And when you're up there for so long, like Butch and Sonny have been, you haven't been able to use all those elements like you typically do on Earth. They have dedicated time to train to make sure their cardiovascular systems and is functioning properly, and stay fit that way. But when you don't use all those muscles, ligaments, and tendons and bone structure, it does atrophy. And as soon as you start the reentry process, any G onset, we noticed it at like 0.2 G, you can start feeling the G forces. And that was only after 5 days. They've been up there for, 286 days, over 9.5 months. That sensation is going to be very intense. And, by the time they get down to Earth, it's that whole rehab procedure, they're anticipating, 5, 6 weeks, maybe even a couple months. Everyone's subjective as far as how it's going to impact them.
What's different about the rescue crew and how they had to train, or just what they've done so far compared to you going up before? Because basically, you know, instead of filling all the seats with the whole crew like you might have had, they've only, you know, they had to keep a couple of seats open so they could bring these two astronauts back. So is it easier or harder to go up with the smaller crew compared to what you guys did, say, a few months ago?
No, it's relatively the same process, procedures, training. You know, for us, it was 2.5, almost 3 years of training. Most of the elements are fairly subjective to the mission that you're tasked to do. For us, you know, there's three main categories of training that we did. We did the physiological training, again, getting the body ready for space, the centrifuge, the altitude chamber, the vacuum chamber, because we're going to do a spacewalk. And then you have, like, what we refer to as experiential training. That's getting comfortable in the uncomfortable scenarios, the flying the fighter jets, the skydiving, the climbing mountains. And then the last category is that procedural training. And that's where it can be slightly different depending on what you're going up there to do. For these astronauts, they're going to the space station. So, you know, their experience in Dragon is just, to get to the space station, they'll dock, and then the majority of their mission is on the station doing science and research, material testing, innovative technology testing, all these elements that benefit life here on Earth and future space exploration missions.
Yeah.
For us, it was about the spacewalk and the altitude record that we set up to 1,408 kilometers, as well as testing Starlink from space for the very first time.
Starlink. I still need Starlink on my camper so I can just have connectivity. Although the beauty of camping is getting disconnected at times, but it would be fun to just take my camper and do the radio show from anywhere. Maybe like the top of
Absolutely.
Glacier.
I got an Airstream, and we got Starlink finally, and it's good and bad, just like you said. You want to disconnect, but it's we've become pretty used to information at our fingertips.
Yeah. I've got John Jackson, the Joker from X here, sidekicking with me in studio here as well. John, you know, we were talking about going to places like Afghanistan. You're a retired federal law enforcement, retired military here. And, of course, Kid Petitza, he was an Air Force Thunderbird pilot before, you know, teaming up with SpaceX and the Polaris Dawn crew. But we were talking about some of your most miserable times when you're deployed are waiting to get home. Okay, it's going to be two more weeks, boys. These astronauts have been stuck up there months longer than they thought they were going to be. I mean, that's just got to be brutal to a certain extent.
When you said that earlier, the first thing that popped into my head was the iconic line from the movie Jaws. And you know, these people, these astronauts up there felt that when they saw that rocket taking off. Okay, now we're going to get rescued. And you remember Quint in Jaws? He said when that plane was flying over and started to pick people up, that was when I was the most frightened, waiting for my turn. He said, I'll never put on a life jacket again. And you imagine these people, they're watching that rocket go off thinking, okay, here it comes. Maybe we'll get out of here now.
Yeah, Kid Petit, what's your thoughts on that? Although I've got to think that astronauts are probably like the submariners, the submariners, the bubbleheads, whatever you want to call them, to where they probably have way more patience than almost any of the rest of us.
You know, when I'm trying to put my mindset into what Butch and Sonny are thinking, it does, you know, remind me of deployments when you have, you're expected to return on a certain date and it just continues to get slipped to the right further and further. But for them, it went from, you know, just over a week to 9.5 months. That's a pretty long time. It truly is a demonstration of their resilience and their willingness to sacrifice for what they signed up to do. So they're, you know, they're doing the right thing, but I can only imagine it is challenging at times. The, you know, you're separated from the families, and so they're definitely ready to come home if I was to speculate. But it also is worth mentioning the sacrifices that these families make. You know,
that's
and
right.
I realize that within my family and reflecting upon my mission of all the hardships they had to do while I was training and having fun and getting the limelight. They were at home having to worry about, you know, the extent of our mission. And then obviously the launch and the recovery, the splashdown is a pretty intense experience, what they're going to go through here in a couple hours. And so it's just, you know, we got to pay homage to the sacrifices that everyone's making to support these missions.
That's right. So often the families and the spouses don't get the recognition and the thanks they deserve. And meanwhile, they're not only worried about what might be happening up there in space, but then that's when your water heater decides to go out and, you know, your car starts having problems. Everything, always, you know, it's like, oh, great. On top of everything else you got to deal with, now this, right? It always seems to be the case. All right, Kid Petite, hold that thought if you can. If you got to run, totally understand. We're so grateful for your time once again here on Montana Talks. We got to take a quick break. It's our shortest break of the hour. But, yeah, if Kid Petite can stick around, we'll come back to him. Plus, John Jackson, the Joker from X, I'm sure he's got some more great thoughts to throw out there as well. Back right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I'd be all about going to space. If I could fly with SpaceX, like, hey, I just want to fly first class, go up. Yay, I'm in space. This is sweet. Okay, I'm ready to go back home. that's where I would want to fly if I was going to space. Oh, man. I just don't know if I would have the patience to be up there as long as these astronauts are up there. But, no, it must just be remarkable folks to be able to weather that, to train for it, and to be able to do everything it takes to make it happen. We've got just a couple more minutes here with the Polaris Dawn mission pilot, Kid Petite. Kid, I gotta ask you, and feel free if you want to stiff arm me on this one and dodge the question. But you know, everybody's wondering, like, man, you know, could SpaceX have rescued these people sooner? Was there kind of this anti-Elon Musk sentiment in the last regime that didn't want Elon Musk to play such and SpaceX to play such a key role here? I understand if you want to dodge the political question there, but yes, but feel free if you want to answer that, or you can pivot to something else.
Well, the second half of that question about anti-Elon sentiment, I can't speak to, but the technical aspects, could SpaceX have, you know, done things to reprioritize when it comes to the mission? And things you got to consider is the flight schedule, the availability of crews and capsules and launch schedules. All of that can be reevaluated and reprioritized to get them home sooner. So I am not privy to what was going on in the office during these conversations when it was decided upon, the final decisions. But from my experiences working with SpaceX and watching the 11,000 amazing professional men and women, some of the brightest people I've ever worked with. They certainly have the capability, capacity, and aptitude to have figured out solutions to get them home sooner. But, you know, those decisions are way above my head, and I wasn't privy to any of those conversations.
Yeah, I like it. It's like the caveman lawyer from Saturday Night Live back in the day. I'm just an astronaut. I don't know all these crazy lawyer games. Well, Kid Petite, what an honor to get to catch up with you again, once again on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning, and Godspeed, God bless to the SpaceX crew and the astronauts coming home as the mission continues.
Absolutely. Let's pray for a safe return over the next couple hours, and we'll give them a nice cold beer when they get home.
Hopefully a Montana one while they're at it. All right. Kip Petite, a pleasure and an honor as always. And thanks so much for your time. All right, he's got to run. We've got a couple of minutes left here. John, that was pretty interesting. Yeah, that hey, like, you know, stuff could be arranged. Technically, it could all work out. Yeah, SpaceX could have made it happen, et cetera. But, yeah, what great insight there. And I don't mind that he didn't want to get into the politics of it either, because I totally understand.
I think what Kip Petite said there real succinctly was,
all the science, I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. I think that's kind of what he was alluding
well,
to there.
What he's saying is, I'm going to focus on the real science, and he's going to stay away from the political science, right? You know, like
Mars ain't a place to raise your kids. So, you know, in fact, it's cold as hell there. So.
Give Elon Musk some time, buddy. Put too many Tren de Aragua operatives on American soil. You might want to go to Mars to raise your kids. No.
Hey, as we go off here today, history is being made as we speak right now. President Trump has been on the phone now for over an hour and a half with Vladimir Putin. And what will come out of that phone call will be history in the making and possibly the beginnings to the end of a war. So we will say, we'll probably hear about this in the next hour, the result of this phone call.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So President Trump continued to push forward to end this war, finally, of saving billions of dollars, who knows how many lives in the process as well. And then, of course, the question is, well, what will the Europeans do? Because some of them, it seems like, damn the consequences. They just want the war to keep going on, even though they're not really the ones paying for it. In fact, they gave more money to Putin last year buying energy than they gave to Ukraine. So spare us the virtue signaling about who cares more for Ukraine.
Everybody needs to wrap their heads around the fact that these people are not our allies. They are allies in name only. They are a communist cabal that hates everything about what real America stands for and truly everything that Donald Trump and MAGA stands for. They are not our allies.
I think there are some new leaders in Europe rising up, though, to restore, you know, Western civilization, because truly that's really what the 2024 elections were really about. Western civilization was on the line, and frankly still is.
And this, the whole EU thing, that has got them all right around the throat, because if you get, say, a president in one of these countries that wants to stand up and do something for his own country, they will just economically strangle you and bring you back into line. They've all got to break out of that.
Speaking of flights, and I was talking about flying first class with SpaceX if I ever got to go to space. Our good friend, the rabbi in Bozeman, he shared this photo. He was on a flight trying to type up an update on his life. You know how small those seats are? He was like, even I, when I flew from D.C. to Vegas for the SHOT Show, I had the T-Rex arms trying to type for our website, because it was like, there's no space on these flights. And I even think I paid extra for an upgrade.
You have to.
Air travel is just miserable anymore. It's like, I'd rather just be out with my camper, hanging out with my own stuff.
Oh, it's brutal, and the never-own time is terrible.
And I got my own coffee in my camper, too.